Okay, so today's Maimer is going to be about the story, the narrative of Eliezer and the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka. So this is like the cosmic matchmaker, because it turns out that there's much more involved than what strikes the eye when you read the narrative. Issa ben Medrash of Parshas Seinu. This is a Maimer from the Rebbe Shabbos Parshas Chayesora, 22nd day of Mar Chezron, which is going to be tomorrow, 22nd day of Mar Chezron. The year was Tavshin Memches. 1987. Issa ben Medrash Parsha Seinu. We learned on the Medrash on this week's Torah portion. It's found both in the Bereishis Rabbah as well as in the Yalkut Shemoni, and it's actually brought in Rashi's commentary on the Torah. Omer Reb Acha said, Yofa Sichosin Shalavde Ovis. The talk, the casual talk, conversation of the servant of the patriarchs, or according to another version, Avde Bate Ovis. The houses of the patriarchs are more beautiful or nicer miteiros and shalbanim than the Torah teachings of children. Sha'arei parsha shel Eliezer kfula b'teira. For we see that the parsha of Eliezer, the narrative of Eliezer's searching for Rivka, is repeated in the Torah twice. V'harbe gufei teira, and there are entire bodies of teira leinitna ela b'remiza, which are only given in allusion. They're alluded to. Entire portions of the Torah are not explicitly spelled out, but rather simply hinted at. And then we have to figure out what Hashem wants from us and what the Torah is expecting of us. When it comes to Eliezer, it doesn't say, Vayisaper lahem Eliezer k'chol advarim ha'ila. Eliezer told them what happened. No, it goes through the whole thing. Eliezer gives the whole story all over again. And then, you know, lucky doesn't say it a third time. Then he says he came to Yitzchak and he says, and he told Yitzchak advar meila. But twice the entire narrative is repeated. So from the illuminating perspective of Chassidus in the Maimarim of our Rebbeim, starting from the Alter Rebbe in Eira Teira, which is the Maimarim of the Alter Rebbe are printed in Eira Teira, which is generally speaking the Maimarim of the Tzemach Tzedek. But the reason they're printed in the teachings of the Tzemach Tzedek is because there are many glosses from the Tzemach Tzedek. And it's found in Teiris Chaim of the Mittler Rebbe. And the Drushim Shla Achar is a lengthy mimer of the Rebbe Rashab also. The Masha Harbe Gufe Teira Le Nitnu Ele Bermiza. The fact that there are many bodies of Teira, entire areas of Teira, which are only alluded to and not explicitly spelled out, as the expression goes, Kidai Le Chakim Bermiza, because for the wise, they're supposed to get the hint. And you're dealing with the truly wise, you don't have to spell everything out. As the Gemara tells us, and as the Medrash tells, and the Zohar speaks about. In other words, there's good reason that things should just be hinted out. When you're dealing with real wisdom, we just allude to things. You don't have to actually say them. When you have to express them fully and spell them out, it means you're not dealing with particularly intelligent individuals. Whatever. But be that as it may, the fact is that it's only alluded to. Va'afal pikein, nonetheless, parsha shel Eliezer kfula b'teira. The parsha of Eliezer, where really this is the only parsha where the story Eliezer is the central actor in the story. It is true that he plays a supporting role in the conquering or the battle against the kings that was led by Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu is the one who is his narrative. It's his battle. It's Avraham's victory. If that's Eliezer who's helping Avram single-handedly, and according to some opinions, it is Eliezer who helps Avram Avinu single-handedly, he only plays a supporting role in the cast. But in this week's Torah portion, in Parshas Chayesora, there is an entire story in which he is the central actor. He gets a speaking part, he does things, he even intuits, he comes up with his own ideas. This is a Parsha of Eliezer, even though he's not actually mentioned by name. But it's universal that everybody agrees that that's Eliezer. Nobody has a dispute who that is. Umishum shaparsha shel Eliezer, because the parsha of Eliezer in Yonah hu ashidduch de Yitzchak v'Rivka. In other words, the reason that this Eliezer gets repeated twice is not because Eliezer is such a fantastic guy. It's not because Eliezer is so remarkable and that every nuance of his life is a lesson for us, but rather because of what the story talks about. Because the storyline, the narrative is about the Shidduch, about the coming together, the bringing together of our father Yitzchak and our mother Rivka. In other words, The nice of leklolus achilik bein terasin shalbanim v'sichasin shalaba avdi batayovis. Hamavur ba'adrushim. The Rebbe chooses in this maimer not to focus on the meaning of what is exactly sichason shalavdi avis. What does that mean? What is the difference in sichason between the common speech or casual speech of avdi avis and terasin shalbanim, in which Rav Acha seems to contrast the two? He says there's sichason shel avdei batei aves, there's the casual speech of the servants, and then there's the idea of the Torah of banim. Okay, the Rebbe's not talking about that. But besides, in addition to that idea, which is a segment and a sugya unto itself, we speak here, though, about the emphasis on this story, and the reason that it's repeated is because Mailas Parshas Eliezer, the towering virtue of the parsha, of the story, of the narrative of Eliezer, is not because of who Eliezer is, but lehiyosa isekes b'shiduch de Yitzchak v'Rivka. It's the subject matter that he gets to star in. In other words, had Eliezer starred in another storyline, you wouldn't hear about it twice. You hear about it twice because of the story that he starred in, because of the mission, the task that he was given. And why is this? So here, the approach of Chassidus is ki inyan Yitzchak yichud Yitzchak v'Rivka, because the union of Isaac and Rebecca, meira al yichud zav v'nukva. This is paradigmatic of what we call in Kabbalistic terms the communion, the oneness of the spheres, which are called the masculine spheres and the feminine spheres. Zav stands for ze'er ampin, which is Aramaic for a small face. There's Arich Anpin, which means a large face, and that generally refers to the cerebral powers, the ability to intuit, which is Chachma, creativity, the ability to develop an idea, and then to come to a successful conclusion, develop an opinion, even a bias. This is the idea of Das. That's Chachma Bina Das. That's where a person really has to harness and marshal all of his wherewithal, all of his abilities. If you really want to understand something, you can't be listening with, like, you know, half an ear and daydreaming somewhere else. That doesn't work. There's a famous story that a teacher noticed a little boy daydreaming in class. He said, "What are you doing?" "I'm trying to teach her, and you're daydreaming." The kid said, "I'm doing what my father always did." He says, "What did your father do?" He said, he was thinking about winning the lottery." The lady says, "Your father won the lottery?" Everybody says, "No, he just thinks about it all day." Like, so a person can think about things all day. He's thinking about this, thinking about that. That's not called intelligent activity when you chalom, when you daydream, and your mind wanders. When you want to really understand something, you have to pull together every ounce of wherewithal and really focus. And truth be told, when it comes to the study of Torah, if you are studying something which you can grasp easily, and you don't have to really stretch and reach for, then your learning of Torah is deficient. You're not learning Torah as you should be learning Torah. Because everybody's supposed to study Torah to the ability that of the mental acuity God gave them. So we have to reach, we have to strain ourselves. And that requires tremendous effort. And in the wisdom of a person, the person very much expresses themselves. The difference between one teaching or another is very revealing as to who the teacher is, as to who the source of the wisdom. So that's called Arach Ampin. Arach Ampin is a lot of face. Face is a euphemism. Just like, you know, they call it face time. But really what it means in on a deeper level is not being able to see the face. It's about being able to connect on a deeper level. Because the face is the screen that reflects what's going on inside. You look at somebody's face, you'll know if they're intelligent or not. You'll know if they're happy, angry, frustrated. Your elbow doesn't say much. The face, the back doesn't say. The face says. So Arach Ampin means a lot of me. And that's the ideas of Chacham Bir and Das. Then we have emotions. You don't have to be a very deep person to have emotions. Everybody's got emotions. You could have emotions about silly things. A person could have emotions about a plate of lasagna. I love lasagna. I hate lasagna. Okay, is that all your loves and hates? I don't know. That's, people can love and hate foolish things or silly things or small things. Children have no problem getting very emotionally involved in things. You can't talk to them anything intelligent because they're not there. They haven't yet matured. But at a very young age, children get very strong feelings about very stupid things most of the time. But that's like it says in Tanya, Hakata Miskaif, or Miskatsif al Dvarim Ketanim. He becomes angry and frustrated. He emotes over silly things. And hopefully we get older and we start to emote over more intelligent things. In fact, We should stop emoting at some point. To be a mensch means to be cerebral, not to get angry and frustrated and follow your heart all the time, when in fact you should do what's the right thing. So there's less of a person that gets, so to speak, expressed in this. And therefore it's called ze'er ampin. Ze'er ampin means small amount of face. And then we have a madrega, which is called the end of the spheres, which is called malchus. And malchus could best be translated in for our purposes as responsibility, although malchus literally translates as kingship or dominion. Because when you're the king or the queen, you're responsible. You're responsible. When you become responsible, when you're handed responsibility, it doesn't matter really who you are and what your powers, the powers to be you have. Whatever powers to be you have, once you become responsible, you start to work differently. You start to function differently. So just like the feminine dimension, let's say when it comes into procreation, receives and develops, malchus is the same kind of thing. It's you receive responsibility. Once you receive the responsibility, depending on what the responsibility is for, depending on who you are, but it's like this is what goes into the blender. Malchus represents that feminine dimension. So then, proverbially speaking, ze'eid ampin, or the midas like chesed, gvura, teferes, netzach, chayd, yisoid, this is aggressive, and it's likened to or metaphorized as masculine energy. Malchus, which literally is kingship or queenship, malchus represents the feminine dimension. And in life, we're supposed to try to bring that together. We're supposed to try to take the feelings we have and the desires we have and the interests we have and the functions we have, we're supposed to try to harness it and make it happen. It's like taking the person's aspirations, a person's strong feelings, and translating them into action. Like they say, don't talk the talk, walk the walk. That's, in simple words, the union of Zoh and Malchus. That's bringing together Zoh and Malchus. So I'm really excited about this. This makes me really nervous. What are you doing about it? If you're really excited about it, that makes you really nervous, then you're going to be responsible for it. So I'm really excited. So what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I'm just excited. That's silly. It's like you get stuck in the world of Zoh and it has to be translated. So this is the idea of Yichud, of Zoh and Nukva. Well, the Rebbe says, by the way, Zoh and Nukva, bringing together Zoh and Nukva, is Teichin Klolos Avedas Kol Echad V'Achas MiYisrael. This is the paradigm of life, or the Aveda, the service that a Yid is supposed to engage with his and her life. What are you supposed to do with life? Hashem gives us gifts, abilities, worth. What should we do with life? You should harness life. Hashem gave you ability, so now do something about it. A Yid should be an actual Eved Elokim. He should actually serve Hashem. Obviously, I have to be interested in serving Hashem. I have to want to do this. I have to know about it. But when all that happens, I have passion and fervor and I'm inspired and I care about this, do something about it. That's what Avodas Hashem is all about. Shayadei kol mitzvah poilim yichud zun. Here's the fascinating thing. Every single time you do a mitzvah, you affect this union. You bring together Yichud and Zun. Because the doing of the mitzvah is translating all of the ideas of what the mitzvah represents into everyday life. That's why some people, before they do any major mitzvah, they say L'shem Yichud. It's like a Kabbalistic formula. In certain Hasidic backgrounds, they say it like just about like 10 times a day, 20 times a day. Every time you do a mitzvah, it's unusual. Shayim Yichud Kitche Bericha. Actually, the Rebbe explains, based on what his Zayde writes in Shara Kailu, that the reason we say L'Shem Yichud only before Baruch Shomer in the morning is because that's a general L'Shem Yichud for everything we do during the course of the day. So our davening in the morning sets the stage for the entire day that follows. We say L'Shem Yichud before Baruch Shomer, which is when we're actually beginning to start to the prayers. We're going to start Psukah the Zimmer, ruminating on the greatness of God as we prepare for the blessings that lead us into Shema, and then allow us to reach the climax of davening during the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei. So we say L'Shem Yichud. This is what the davening is all about. I'm about to start to daven in earnest. So what am I doing? L'Shem Yichud. Every time you do a mitzvah, it is L'Shem Yichud. A mitzvah is this idea of union. So through every mitzvah, we affect this union of Zun, of Zon and Nukva.
That's the idea also for Kiddush Shabbos tonight?
The idea of Kiddush on Shabbos?
We have the... What we say right before the blessing.
There is a halachic formula, a mystical, Kabbalistic formula, which is reflective of this, yes. Because the idea of the week, the work, the days of the week, the 6 days of the week are Zoh, there's Ze'ir Ampin, and Shabbos is Malchus. Right, because what does Shabbos do? Shabbos, like a woman, takes whatever it receives from the 6 days and it elevates it. It turns a dot, something small, turns it into a baby. Shabbos takes the whole week and gives it its meaning, What else does Shabbos do? Shabbos also develops and inspires enough energy for the week to come. Like we say, the Gemara says, a man brings home wheat. Yeah, go chew on wheat. It's the woman who turns the wheat into bread, which is a euphemism. It's a metaphor as much as it was once literal. It's the concept of turning a house into a home, wheat into bread, and so on and so forth. And that's what Shabbos does. When a Yid has Shabbos, he doesn't have a difference once a week. Oh, I'm different on Shabbat. You're different all week. The influence of Shabbat lasts all week long, as Ramban explains in his commentary on Aseres Dibros. So, this idea represents the whole concept of communion, oneness that a Yid achieves as he goes through life. Since what happened to the fathers, that's a sign for the children. So lachein huchbalu parsha b'teira zu. That's why this was repeated a second time. Hamidaber is b'inyan suri rifka, which speaks about the preparation, paving the way, and allowing for the union of Yitzchak and Rifka, because the union of Yitzchak and Rifka ultimately represents everything about life itself. It represents what Yiddishkeit expects of us at large. So Yitzchak and Rivka are, yes, a man and a woman who actually did get married, but there's much more. It's not just a technical narrative of the man and woman who happened to get married and then achieve a pregnancy, and it was a multiple birth, and one was a lousy kid who never made it, and the other kid became a wonderful guy, and his name is Yisrael, Yaakov or Yisrael, and he founds Bnei Yisrael. It's that. On a literal level, it's what happened. But when we read the Torah, we understand there's much, much more than meets the eye. And here, the story of Yitzchak and Rivka is the story of life for a Yid, Yichud Zon. What the Rebbe has encapsulated in this small paragraph is the essence of what the teachings that's found in long Maimarim of the Rebbeim. The Rebbe just synopsized it in just like a few words. This is the essence of the Hasidic teaching. This is the Hasidic perspective, the unique prism in which we see Yitzchak and Rivka. And now the Rebbe says something new. The Rebbe suggested that the meaning of this notion, that this idea, that this represents the overarching and generality, the plurality of Avedis Ha'adam, of Yichud Zun, of the bringing together of Zah and Nukva, which really means the Yichud of Mashpia Mekabel, bringing together what we call, quote, benefactor and recipient, that there's something that provides seeds, gives the energy, and something that develops, that gestates, that turns it into something real. So this is the idea of Mashpia Mekabel. The Rebbe says, a chiddush. You should know that if one thinks deeply about it, one will find that Yeshne Bepratius Bechol Mitzvah. We actually find this paradigm, this dynamic, is found in every single individual mitzvah. And the Rebbe starts to explain that. What does that mean? So, for example, every mitzvah, why is it called a mitzvah? A mitzvah means a commandment. Why is a mitzvah called a commandment? Because it is a commandment. It's called a commandment because it is a commandment. So why do we do A, B, C, X, Y, Z? Why do we do those things? Because we got a commandment. So the hatzivui, the commandment, which we know from a Hasidic perspective, is much more than just an instruction. When Hashem gives you a mitzvah, it's also a nesinas koyach. It's an act of empowerment. We can do this. We can accomplish this because Hashem told us we can. Because He told us to. Because He told us to, therefore we can. He empowers us by telling us to do it. Because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask anything impossible for us. So if he asked us to do it, necessarily has to mean He gives us the strength. So the tzivu is in the sinas koyach mamayla. Al maisa ha-mitzvah, that's the idea of mashpia. That's the benefaction. Hashem gives us a benefaction. He says, here. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the instructions. Here's the ability to do it. I told you what to do, and I gave you the strength to do it. That's the mashpia. And the etzem ha-mitzvah, the mitzvah itself, the object of the mitzvah, hu ha-mekabel, that's the recipient. So there's the giver and the taker. Here the give and take is, Hashem gives us the mitzvah, gives us the commandment, and what's the recipient? The end result. What's the end result? Here's the halacha and shulchan aruch. Here's what I should do. So that idea, this roadmap, this detailed instructions, along with what's supposed to actually happen, that is the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself is the mekabel. In other words, the Rebbe is not saying that when you do a mitzvah, you're doing yichud zon. The Rebbe says in the object of the mitzvah, in the objective concept, and the way the mitzvah exists in theory, in the pages of Torah, so to speak, we have mashpia and mekabel. We have the empowerment of the mitzvah, we have the idea of the mitzvah, and then we have the actual technical parameters of the mitzvah, the halachas of the mitzvah. The nimtza, it comes out, shemaisa mitzvah, that the action that's taken, the actuation of the mitzvah, which is habayi de tziruf v'tzivui v'guf ha-mitzvah, which comes through the union of the instruction, the empowerment, along with the technicalities, the parameters of here's what you should actually do, the actual instructions. So that's the idea of yichud mashpia makabel. And then b'hamitzvah gufa, in the mitzvah itself, there's also beis inyanim. There's also two things. There's also the energy of the mitzvah, if you will, and the vessel of the mitzvah. What's the energy in the vessel? So the Rebbe says, every mitzvah has a tam. Every mitzvah has a reason. And then there's a few mitzvahs that we don't have reasons for. So what's the reason that we know? Because God said so. That's a good enough reason. I said so, says God, is a good enough reason. But some mitzvahs he gives us more. Like the Rambam says in the end of the Chastamura, kol ma'asha ataya chol litim botam ten botam. Any reasons you could give, you should give reasons. It's a good idea to give reasons. So the idea then is there's the philosophy of the mitzvah, there's the idea of the mitzvah, what the mitzvah represents, what the mitzvah is supposed to achieve, what it's supposed to, what the difference it's supposed to make in our lives, the lessons we shall learn from it. And there's the kavan of the mitzvah, there's the intention. When you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to have certain intentions. Actually, every mitzvah has special things to think about. Some mitzvahs, it's actually a part of the mitzvah itself. Like, for example, tefillin. The kavanah is a part of the mitzvah. And in sukkah, it's literally a part of the mitzvah. But every mitzvah has kavanah. You say, like a person, how should he do a mitzvah? Ideally, how should he do a mitzvah? Mindfully. That's ideally, it shouldn't be mindless, it should be mindful. It shouldn't be habitual, it should be thought about and then acted upon. So that mitzvah is meaningful. Like for example, if somebody does a favor for their spouse or for their friend, and they did it mindlessly, and they know it was mindless, they didn't even realize what they were doing, how special is it? The answer is, it's not really so special. But when you know a lot of thought went into it, then it's special. That's why I say it's the thought that counts. It's assuming there was some thought. If there was no thought, it was clear that this was thoughtless, it doesn't have much meaning. The most important and beautiful thing about a gift is you were being thought of. So this is the idea of the mitzvah. There's the tam mitzvah, the kavana, the intention, the thoughtfulness, the mindfulness, the idea of the mitzvah, the mitzvah embodies. And then there's the mitzvah itself. So the Rebbe says, tam, the kavana is a mitzvah. The raison, the etre, the reason, the rationale, the philosophy of the mitzvah. Hu b'chinas mashpia. That's what gives the energy. That's what energizes the mitzvah. V'ha mitzvah atzma, the mitzvah itself, as b'chinas Mekabel, that comes like a recipient. Like the Alter Rebbe says in Likutei Torah, that when a person should study about the Yom Tovim, and if he studies about the Yom Tovim, then he'll do the Yom Tovim's observance will be different. Then it will be a passion-filled observance of Yom Tovim. That's why he says, there's the lashon, the expression goes, Ve'asisim lochem, chag. You make yourself. How you make it? If you personalize the chag. If you spend time before a particular Yom Tov, learning about the Yom Tov, personalizing, so what does the Yom Tov mean to me? So if you go through that, when you come to the actual Yom Tov, how do you feel? You're excited about it because you're identifying with it. And the same is true with every mitzvah. If a mitzvah is done mindfully, if I invest in myself in the mitzvah, how do I feel about the mitzvah? I identify with the mitzvah. And I'm doing it heart, mind, and soul. So the mitzvah, the actual techno halacha and shulchan aruch, which could be dry, which could be lifeless, which could be habitual, is all of a sudden infused with a crackling sense of intensity, with an energy. Why? Because the idea of the mitzvah, because the thought of the mitzvah, because the accomplishment, the achievement of the mitzvah, now infuses the halacha, the technicality of the mitzvah, with a sense of vibrancy. And therefore, you see, in every mitzvah, there's actually mashpia and mekabel. So it comes out that in the mitzvah itself, shabemaisa mitzvah, then in the doing of the mitzvah, which when a person hopefully carries that mitzvah properly, nichlolim, we have included tam ha-mitzvah va-mitzvah atzma. You have hopefully a person doing a mitzvah mindfully. So if he did a mitzvah mindfully, did the mitzvah mindfully, when there was the mindfulness and the emotion invested in the mitzvah, that's the mashpia, that's the energy part of the mitzvah. When you did the mitzvah, actually did what you're supposed to do, that's the body of the mitzvah. So it's like a body and soul of a mitzvah. That's like zah and nukva of a mitzvah. And it's all in every single mitzvah has idea of yichud mashpia makabel. That was even further. And the person doing the mitzvah, there's also two sides within the doer of the mitzvah. The doer of the mitzvah, there's the kavanas ha-mitzvah, there's the mindfulness, with my mindfulness, my passion that I invest in doing the mitzvah, and then there's my actuation, my doing the mitzvah. So my feeling and fervor, that's like the mashpia. That seeds my actions. So my actions could be dry and lifeless, or my actions could be purposeful, mission-driven, mindful, and passionate and excited. The kavanas ha-mitzvah b'chinas mashpia. V'asiyas ha-mitzvah b'kabel. Everyone has the ability to act, the ability to think, the ability to have a consciousness and a passion. And that's the idea of mashpia b'kabel. Nimsa comes out, she-v'asiyas ha-mitzvah nihiyah ha-yichud v'ha-mashpia v'ha-mekabel. In the doing of the mitzvah itself, there is mashpia b'kabel. So what did the Rebbe say? Unfortunately, we're not going to have time to move on. But the Rebbe says an amazing thing here. He basically peeled away yet another layer. Chassidus comes along and says, what's this whole business with Eliezer? It's not because Eliezer is so fantastic and wonderful. It's not the actor, it's the storyline. It's the narrative that's so unique and special. And then we saw how that narrative represents everything about Yiddishkeit and life itself. And that's the idea of Yichud Zun and Mashpia Mekabel. And the Rebbe says, this whole narrative, this whole idea actually, is found microcosmically in every single mitzvah. So in other words, now we understand why Eliezer's narratives, the stories repeated twice, the chronicles of Eliezer, are so important, because they represent not only the general idea of Avodas Hashem, but they're actually represented in every single individual mitzvah. Like it says elsewhere in Chassidus, that there's a mashal that a drop of water can reflect the entire sun. In other words, every mitzvah is reflective of the whole Yiddishkeit. And that's why the story of Yitzchak and Rivka is so important. Because if we study the story of Yitzchak and Rivka right, we're able to do every mitzvah differently. Every frame of life can be seen through the prism of Mashpia and Mekabel, which is Yitzchak and Rivka. And that's why the story has such great importance. That's why it has so much emphasis, and the Torah repeats it twice.
So let's do that.
Let's do it.